apparently about 6'7". I told Russ a while ago, I said, you know, you got guest preachers in here, and the first thing they do is grab it and twist it around. And I look over at him. He's looking up in the sky and waiting for the rapture, and he's talking to him. He never sees them. He always sees me when I grab it and jerk it around. And I said, how about just taking that thumb and hooking it for me? He's a good man. Appreciate you being here tonight, and I trust you've had a good day today. And I don't have anything to report on Ruby today, so. Before I get into the message, I don't like to waste God's time. You know, I don't like to get up here and just jaw-jack and waste his time. I don't believe in that. But I got a couple things I want to cover with. How many of you ever, do you know what the toddler's property laws are? Toddler's property laws. Here they are. There's 10 of them. If I like it, it's mine. Now, this is toddler's. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. Sounds like chaps, don't it? If I'm not doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks like mine, it is mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. Yeah. And if you're playing with something and put it up and take it down and do away with it, it automatically becomes mine. Now, this number 10 is the last one. If it's broken, it's yours. When the raider brings out Joe's steak, Joe notices that the guy is holding his steak with his thumb clamped down on the top of the meat. And what's the matter with you, demands Joe. I don't want your hands all over my food. So, replies the waiter, would you be happy if I took my thumb off of it and let it fall on the floor again? Never question somebody with a hand and a thumb on your steak. And then one more. There'll be somebody who'll probably answer this. How many chiropractors does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but it takes 6 visits. Okay. If you would, take your Bibles and open them up to Genesis chapter 13. Yeah, Genesis chapter 13. We're going to look at a man tonight that's probably been preached on about as much as anybody. Maybe Job, maybe a little bit more. But we're going to look at this man tonight and look at a few things that you may have seen, you may have looked at, and you may not have. We want to look at this man and what happened to him. Genesis chapter 13, and verse number 1. Now watch what the Bible says. And Abel went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Very rich. He wasn't as rich, he was very rich. All right? Now, let's drop down to verse 9. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks, and herds, and tents. So we find here in verse 1 and 2, Abram was rich. He had it all. He had a lot. And then we find in verse number 5 also that Lot had herds and flocks and tents, and he was wealthy also. Anyway, let's drop down to verse number 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, now I want you to watch this now, next couple verses. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, And between me, my herdmen, and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is it not the whole lamb? Now watch what he says here in verse 9. Is not the whole land before us? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart from the right, then I will go to the left. So we find here you've got two situations. Both these men are wealthy. Both these men have got a lot. And they're going to have to part because there's problems. There's not enough for where they're at for them to stay there. So they're going to part. So Abram told him, said, well, what we'll do, said, if you go to the left hand, I'll go to the right. If you want to go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. In other words, what he was saying was, you take what you want to, and then I'll take what's left. Don't sound like people we know, does it? But that's what he said. Now, I want you to look at a few things with this in mind. Again, let me read verse number 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart in the right hand, I will go to the left. What I want to preach on tonight is this subject. The decision that led to Lot's backsliding / downfall. The decision he made that led his backsliding and his downfall. Father, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for, Lord, another chance, God, to be at church. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help me tonight. Lord, I know a lot of men, God, can probably get up and preach this book blindfolded. And God, but I need you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help me tonight. Pray, Heavenly Father, that I'd not say anything that I ought not say. I pray, Father, that I'd say what I need to say out of the Word of God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would lead and guide me, what I do and what I say. And I want everything to glorify and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in this precious book. Thank you again, Father, for the privilege to be to church tonight. I pray, God, you bless the message. And Father, may somebody get something out of it. And I thank and praise for all that's accomplished. I don't take any of it for granted or any of it lightly. And I thank you for all you do, for asking in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And we find a situation here now. And I'm going to go back and read it again. And then I'm going to get into the message. I want us to look at it. Verse 1 and 2 and 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, all of it, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver. And in verse 5, and Lot also went with him, went with Abram, and had flocks and herds and tents. So we find here that both these men were wealthy, and both these men had a lot, but they're going to have to part. The decision that led to Lot's backsliding / downfall. First of all, I want you to understand something. I said Lot's decision. God didn't make Lot do what he done. And may I say to you tonight, God don't make us do anything that we do. He wants us to, and through the Holy Spirit, he leads us and guides us, but God don't make us do anything. A lot of people say, well, God made me do. No, God didn't make you do nothing. He wished sometimes we'd do some things we don't do, and he wished sometimes we didn't do some things we do. But God don't make us do anything. May I say to you tonight, he did not make Lot do what he did. And we're going to look at that tonight. Decisions. By way of introduction, I always try to give an introduction to kind of get us into the message. And by way of introduction, we all make decisions every day. Hey, we make a decision to go up whether we want to get up in the morning or not. God don't come down here and thump us on the head and say, get up now, son, it's time for you to move around. We make that decision ourselves whether we want to get up out of the bed or whether we want to lay up in the bed at 12, 1 o'clock. Don't nobody make us get up or not. So we make decisions every day of our life. You people still work. You have to make a decision. You notice I said still work? You have to make a decision every morning or every night when you, whether shift you on, whether you want to go to work or not. Hey, your boss don't make you come to work. He don't come down there and grab you around the throat like the unmerciful debtor and choke you and say, you better get in here, boy, I'm going to fire you. It's your choice. You make the decision whether you want to go to work or not, and your boss can't make you. Well, he'll fire me. But he didn't make you. You made the decision. He didn't make you work. Not only that, but people decide whether they want to get married or not. Well, my girlfriend's mom and dad, they kind of persuade us. Did they take you and strap you down, beat you, and make you marry that woman? No. It was your choice to get married and her choice to get married. It wasn't somebody else's. It wasn't mama's. It wasn't daddy's. It wasn't grandma's or grandpa's. It was your choice whether you wanted to get married or not. And not only that, but it was your choice who you married. Now, I know, I realize, and understand, sometimes mama pushes somebody on somebody they don't really want. I understand all that. But I'm saying, the bottom line is, it's our decision whether we want to get married or not and who we marry. Don't nobody make us marry somebody. Not only that, but it's our decision whether we want to have kids or not. A lot of people get married, they don't want kids. And hey, I'm not saying anything wrong. I'm just saying, they don't nobody make you decide. You decide yourself, and you make your own decision, you and your spouse, whether you want kids or whether you don't. And then you make the decision on how many you want and how many you want. And don't nobody come in and say, well, now you better have 10 or we're going to fire you. You better have 10 or you're going to prison. It's our decision. We make decisions every single day. And then here's another one. It's our decision whether we obey the law or not. Well, if I don't obey the law, they'll throw me in jail. Well, that may be a consequence, but it's our decision whether we want to obey or not. They don't know how to get out here on the road and say, well, you better do this. I've got a decision whether I want to make, whether I want to drive or whether I don't want to drive, or what I want to do, obey the law or whether I don't want to obey the law. And from the looks of things, most people have made the decision, a lot of them made the decision, they don't want to obey the law. That's why there's so many in jail today. Here's a good one. Well, I got to pay my taxes this year. They're going to garnish my wages. You don't have to pay your taxes. If you don't want to pay them, don't pay them. They may garnish your wages. They may tax your wife and kids. I don't know what they're going to do. But you don't have to pay. It's your decision if you want to or not. And then here's one. I'm going to get into the message. It's everybody's decision whether they want to get saved and go to heaven or whether they want to stay lost and go to hell. I've had people tell me, well, I didn't get saved. God's going to do this. God made me get saved. He made me get born again. God didn't make us do nothing. He didn't grab me by the throat like the unmerciful down and say, now, Melvin, you better get saved, boy. I'm going to make you get saved whether you like it or not. It's our decision whether we want to get saved or not, and nobody else's. And then, let's look at this thing, too, about when people get saved. It's our decision whether we want to live for the Lord. There's a lot of people saved, I believe saved, born again, going to heaven. And they don't more live for God than they did before they got saved. And I'm not being critical. You know what I'm saying. You know people like that. Oh, yeah, they may be saved, born again, and they may be going to heaven. But ain't nobody going to make them live right. They ain't going to make anybody make them live for the Lord. It's their decision whether they want to live for the Lord or whether they don't want to live for Him. Not only that, but living for Him, but it's their decision whether they want to read this blessed book right here, this canon, 66 automatic. Hey, nobody don't make you read the Word of God. I don't know of anybody that does. You and I choose what we make the decision every day if we want to get in that blessed book and read it and learn it and try to study it, it's up to us. It's our decision and nobody else. They don't nobody make me read that Bible. Now, if I didn't, I probably wished I had her. Because I don't want the Lord on me. But I'm saying it's my decision. It's everybody's decision whether they want to read the Word of God or not. They'll want to read it, put it out, and forget about it. They'll wish they hadn't. Not only reading the Bible, but what about praying? I don't know anybody that God makes pray every day. Or God makes pray. He don't make us pray. He ain't never made me pray. I don't know of anybody he's ever made pray. Why? Because we decide every day if we want to pray and talk to him or not, or if we don't. It's our decision. And also, and here's a good one. Got two more, and I'm going to get into the message. It's our decision. It's the individual decision whether they want to come to church or whether they won't come to church. I don't know anywhere it says in the Bible God's going to kill you or something if you don't come to church. It's our decision. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it's our decision whether we want to come to church or whether we don't want to come to church. If I didn't want to come to church, Brother couldn't make me come to church. If she didn't want to come to church, I couldn't make her come to church. It's our decision as individuals whether we want to come to church or whether we don't. And then tithing the same thing. It's our decision. Well, I ain't giving God 10% of my money. Boy, I worked hard for that. I might give him a couple dollars here and there, but I ain't going to give him 10%. But don't give him none then. It's your decision. You don't have to give him nothing. You don't have to tithe anything. It's our decisions what we do. And may I say this, right or wrong, we make decisions every day. And yes, I make wrong decisions a lot of times. Now, with that in mind, we're going to look at the life of Lot. The decision that led to Lot's backsliding / downfall. Look in chapter 13. I'm going to read these scriptures I read first and then get right into it. Genesis 13 and verse 1. And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And then verse number 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. He was rich also. And then we find here in verse number 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt go take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart from the right hand, I will go to the left. Now, we're going to see some areas of Lot's backsliding starting right here. Now, the first thing that we want to look at is, and found in verse number 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. And before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoan. So the first thing we find in Job's life here, Lot's life here, he looked. He looked. What did it say? And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. The first thing he did in his decision to mess up, he looked. Had he not looked, he may have not went the direction he did, but he looked. Lot looked at that. Boy, you know, a lot of times we look at things and say, man, alive, boy, I'd like to have that or one thing or another. Lot looked at that, he said, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. He said, boy, I don't have to worry about water. I don't have to tote barrels of water nowhere. Man, this place is well watered. And he said, even the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, now comes into Zoan. He looked at that thing, boy, and he said, man, he said, what else would I want? He said, it's well watered. He said, it looks good. He said, raise cattle here. We can get anything. We can do anything we want to do. It's well watered. This is where I want to be. So the first thing Lot did and the first mistake he made backsliding was he looked. But then that led to the second thing that happened. Look at verse number 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. The second thing I see is, not only did he look, but he lusted. If you don't look, you ain't going to lust. What did he say? He looked in verse 10 and saw everything he saw. And then as he saw that, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. So here we find that he lusted. So first thing he done, he looked, and then he saw all that beautiful, well-watered, all that land. He looked, and he lusted. He looked at it, and then he lusted. You know, that's the first thing that happens in a lot of people's lives today. First thing they do is go to looking at something they ought not look at. And if we ain't very careful, we'll go to lusting after what we're looking at. And I'm not saying it's got to... Well, let me... It don't matter what it is. First thing we do is look, and then we lust. And that's what Lot did. He looked, and then he lusted. In verse number 11. If that wasn't all he done, let's go on. And that word lust means to desire. It means to long for. It means to intensively crave. So, you know, you think about that word lust. And I didn't realize it was, I knew lust was lust and it wasn't good. But I never thought about it. I looked that word up. And that word lust means to desire. It means to long for. In other words, you've got to have it. It means intensively to crave. And that's what he did. He had to have it, boy. He looked at that and he had desired it. And he had to crave for it. He longed for that land. So he looked and he lusted. And then the third thing we want to look at is found in verse number 12. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. We find here the third thing that Lot did is he lingered. He lingered. What did it say? And then Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. So now he looked, he lusted, and now he looked and he lusted, and now he's lingering. Hey, he's driving his tent stakes in there. He's going to get comfortable. So he lingered. See, it all started from looking, lusting. Now he's there and he's lingering. Then Lot chose all the plain of Jordan and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one to the other. So he looked, he lusted, and now he's lingering. Verse number 13. But the men of, and we want to see what, and I want you to notice what he got into. And he looked, he lusted, and he lingered. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now he looked at what he wanted, and he lusted at what he wanted. And now he's lingering there, so he's going to be there. If you linger with something, you're going to stay there a while. I want to show you what he got into. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Not a little bit. Not a lot. Exceedingly. Ungodly. Sodomites. That's what it was. So Lot's getting, he's digging himself a hole. Why? Because he looked. And then he lusted. And now he's going to linger. That ain't all. Numbers verse 13, he made the decision. And now you see what he's into. That's the decision that made Lot backslide. When he decided to look and linger, look and lust and linger. All right, let's go on. I wish that was all about Lot. But then not only that, but look at verse number. Let's go to chapter 19 now. Kind of got a foundation in chapter 19. Yeah. Well, it's going to get better for a Lot. Well, let's see if it gets any better for him. Chapter 19. I'd like to say, I wish it got better for him. It didn't. Chapter 19, look at verse number 4. Chapter 19, verse number 4. Yeah, but before, well, you know the story, how the angels came and how all the sodomites out there beating on the door and all that. I don't have time, I don't want to read all that, but you know the story. But I want to pick it up in verse number 4. Yeah. But before they lay down, the men of the city of, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And I don't have to explain what that means. You're adults and you know what it meant. And Lot went out at the door and shut the door to them and shut the door after them. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Let me stop there in verse 7. He looked, he lusted, he lingered. And now look what he's doing. He's calling that bunch of sodomites down there, brethren. Now I want you to understand something. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against people like that. They need to be saved. I know it's ungodly. I know it's wicked. I know God hates it. I know it's abomination to him. I know all that. And I don't hate sodomites. What do you want to call them? They need to be saved. But nonetheless, that sin is an abomination to God. Here's Lot down here now. See, he's done looked and leaned and legislated. He done got all that, looked and leaned and lusted. And now he's down there with them. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. What's he doing? He's going down, 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 just like Jonah did. Look at verse number 8. Now he said, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let them, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. He's gotten worse and worse and worse. If he hadn't looked, he might not have been in this mess. And he don't get no better for him. I'm going to tell you what, old brother Lot's digging himself a big hole. So, verse 4 through 4:8. Now, I want you to notice what he said in verse 8. He legislated in verse 8. He legislated in verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray thee, bring you out unto them and to you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. What's he doing now? He's legislating. You know what he's doing? He's willing. Legislating is making a bargain, making a deal, trying to work something out, legislating something to satisfy a body. He's willing to legislate in this situation and give his two daughters over to a bunch of sodomites to do what he wanted to with them. Boy, I'm telling you what, son, he's getting lower and lower and lower. Why? He looked, and he lusted, and he lingered. Boy, I tell you what, I've read that more one time than you have, too. I couldn't, but he legislated. He's going to try to make a bargain with them now. He said, I'll bring my daughters out to you. He's never known a man, virgin daughters. And now you can do whatever you want to, but don't bother these men. What a mess he's in. Why? He looked, he lusted, he lingered, and now he's legislating. He's trying to make a bargain with them, to try to see if he can bargain with them in something. Not only that, look at verse number 14. Look at verse 13. Yeah. The angel said, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, verse number 14, and we find he lost his testimony. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, who married his daughters, and said, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Now watch what they said. But it seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He was a joke. He was a clown. They didn't have no confidence in him. Bible said, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They didn't pay no attention to him. So you know what I see in this situation right here? He become loathsome. He become loathsome. That means sorry, weak, loathsome, something you detest. But it seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. But you know, and not only that, he become loathsome in their sight, but he lost his testimony. Whatever testimony Lot had in that place, he lost it totally. His sons-in-law, he said, you're like one of them moths. We don't want to listen to you. We don't want nothing to do with you. The mess you in and what you've done, don't come to us with this stuff, and we don't want to hear it. That's what he was saying. He became as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They probably laughed at him. But anyway, so boy, he's really in a mess now. And not only that, he lost his wife. And yo, he's lost a lot. He looked, he lusted, he lingered, he lusted, he looked, and he lingered. Now, let's go on. And not only that, but he lost his wife. Look at verse number 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They've done that for him. But look at verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape with thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. They told him what he needed to do. You know, hey, don't be looking back. Don't be looking back at that mess back there now. Don't look back. One of the saddest statements in the Bible, I believe, is found in verse number 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. All these problems, all these things that's going on in his life, and all these things, he's going down, down, down. And now his wife looked back and disobeyed, and had he not looked and lusted and leaned and lingered and all got into all this mess, his wife wouldn't be a licking block for the cows. Huh? She turned into a pillow of salt. Can you imagine something like that? I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When we look at something, we ought not be looking. I don't care what it is. It might be looking at that glass commode we got in our living rooms or our dens. But when we look at something that God tells us don't look at, and we keep looking at it, and if we're not careful, the first thing you know, we'll be lusting after it. And then before you know it, we'll be leaning to it. And then before you know it, we'll be legislating. Trying to make up excuses to God and say, it ain't really that bad. It is bad. The Holy Spirit tells us don't do it. It's bad. But hey, if we look long enough, and then we go to lusting after it, whatever we're watching or doing, and then we go to leaning, and then we go to legislating with God and the Holy Spirit about whether it's right or wrong or what I should and shouldn't do, same thing he done. The very same thing Lot did. And now he's lost his wife. He didn't just lose his wife. Turned into a pillar of salt. I couldn't imagine something like it. I couldn't imagine seeing Bruby a pillar of salt. But I'm going to tell you what. You don't have to turn that Luke 17:33. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember. That's what Jesus said in Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Not only that, he's not through yet. Look at verses 24 through 26. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain. How much of it? All the plain. Not a lot of it. Not most of it. Not some of it. Not the biggest majority of it. All of it. And all the inhabitants of the cities that grew upon the ground, all that grew upon the ground. What happened? He lost all his possessions. He lost everything he had. Son, he's lost it all. He's lost it all. And then verse 33 through 36. He ain't through yet. He's still going down. 33. Lot's last step in backsliding. Talking about his daughters. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, but when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay yesternight with my father, and let us make him drink wine this night also, and go in thou, and lie with him, that we may preserve seed to our fathers, to our father." And he made him drink wine, and that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when they lay down, nor when they rose up. Thus were both daughters of Lot with child by their father. What happened, preacher? He looked. And then he lusted. And then he lingered. And then he legislated. And then he became loathsome to his son-in-laws. Now here we find something that's just about the bottom of the barrel for him. He lost his wife, lost his possessions, he lost it all. And then his two daughters got him drunk and lay with him. Now, there's a lot there I could say there, but I want to leave it alone. The Holy Spirit said leave it where it's at. In ending the message, the conclusion is a wasted life. Now, I'm going to tell you another man in the Bible wasted his life, and that was Samson. Samson wasted his life, too, with harlotry and women and disobeying God and all kind of stuff, breaking his vow. Samson did, too. A wasted life. Lot, God could have used Lot in a mighty way. Wasted life. Yeah. He lost his testimony. He lost his wife. He lost his sons-in-law. He went down spiritually. He lost his possessions. And not only that, but he went down spiritually and morally. He was a joke. His sons-in-law thought he was a joke. They didn't pay no attention to him. He looked. He lusted. He leaned. He legislated. And he became loathsome. He lost it all. Everything he had, he lost. And may I close with this. We can lose it all also if we're not very careful. We can lose everything that we've got. We can lose our testimonies. We can lose our family. We can lose everything we've got if we're not careful. We better watch ourselves what we look at. We ought to watch what we look at. If we look at it too long, we're going to lust after it. If we look at it too long, we're going to linger a little bit longer. And if we're not careful, we're going to desire it even more. And we'll yield to it if we're not careful. There's a lot of people today hooked on a lot of different things in this world. They may not have got there if they'd have never looked. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro upon the whole earth, beholding the evil and the good. He sees it all. He sees all the ungodliness and the wickedness and the perversion everywhere, every second, of every minute, of every hour, of every day in this world. He sees it. His eyes run to and fro upon the whole earth. But he also sees the good, beholding the good and the evil. He don't miss nothing. A lot of times people say, "Well, God ain't going to see this. I'll look at this. I'm by myself now." You might be by yourself, but the eyes of God run to and fro. He sees everything we do, and he knows everything we do. A lot. Just like Jonah. Jonah went down, down, down. Samson went down, down, down. And so did Lot. A wasted life. Let's bow for prayer.